The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decisions. Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. Helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor, and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
And welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Show. I'm Steve Cordasco. Action-packed program for you. We have Alton Woolagy, who is going to talk investments as well as the economy with me. He's part of our investment team at Cordasco Financial Network. We're going to talk about President Trump, tariffs, and what that means to you and your money. If this president gets what he wants, what's the fallout? Is it good, bad, and what's it mean to your wallet? We're also going to talk about Larry Kudlow. Larry Kudlow could be the next economic advisor, the top economic advisor to President Trump. As you know, I had a pretty good relationship with Larry Kudlow. Him and I spent some time together. We've done some workshops together, and I've interviewed him a number of times. So we're going to play some of the sound bites that he has given me with regards to President Trump and Trump's agenda. So I think you're going to find it a lot of fun, action-packed. Sit down, relax, and enjoy the show. The big buzz and the big story right now is this trade war, as it's being labeled across mainstream media. We're going to call it tariffs on steel and aluminum because that's what President Trump is defining it as. And we're going to jump into it with Alton Woolagy of DeMeo Snyder. Alton, hey, thanks so much for joining me again today.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having us.
I want to jump in now. So you see the headline news. As soon as it broke that President Trump was going to match his campaign promise and get tough on trade partners taking advantage of us, and he was going to bring jobs back that have been taken from some of our trade partners. So here we are, where it's next in his cycle of promises that he wants to achieve, and there's a lot of fallout. So right away, when the news broke, the markets got very volatile. That was a week ago. And I said, you know what, let's take a step back, because it seems like every time there's a knee-jerk reaction in the market over some political stuff coming out of the White House, things correct themselves. So here we are now today. And from just that week ago, we have a high-ranking official who advises one of his chief advisors, right? Cohen from Goldman Sachs. He's been there next to the president, and he's like, he's done. I'm out. I'm resigning. There's a lot of fallout coming from this. I know General Kelly, who is now chief of staff, is not happy with how this thing rolled out. And we're hearing Wilbur Ross is a big factor in it. And now Larry Kudlow may end up going back to the White House. So a lot to digest here. Let's begin with the big picture. On the investment side, let's talk about it from the beginning of what this means from the big picture. What's it mean with the disruption in the White House of who's controlling the power when it comes to money, and what happens to the economic side of the president's decision making?
Yeah, and all good points, Steve. In fact, you know, from if you take it from a very high level, just in terms of the Trump administration, interestingly, not surprising, right? You've had this administration in past time has taken extreme positions and have used those as sort of a leverage or a negotiating chip in advance of whether legislation here in the U.S. or even for this example, negotiations with NAFTA coming up. Turnover within the White House is, of course, nothing new. And so as it relates to the actual Economic Council, you know, Gary Cohen leaving the White House and the council there lends itself to the notion that the trade hawks maybe have more influence within that council. That being said, Trump as well, as you may have seen in prior tweets, has prided himself on a rising stock market. And so you have Republicans and both Democrats across the board that are a bit concerned, global trading partners as well. When you take a step back and think beyond the noise, feels like it's used towards NAFTA trading negotiations. Mm-hmm. And even the news today is – you know, last week the news was, nope, there's no exceptions across the board. You're starting to see the idea that, hey, we can exclude some of our trading partners. And so there seems to be some thawing. But you saw this with tax reform and taking a very strong position there. You saw it with some of the other protectionist pieces out there as well. So not surprised at all with this sort of move. And I think with the media environment that we're in today, of course, that has ramifications for investors and creating volatility in the marketplace.
It's obvious he wants to go after China. That's the big part of this thing. And it's interesting because I have clients. I was talking to a client just this week about it because I want to hear people's opinions. And I have a client who owned a business, and one of his largest line items of expenses that he had within the business was steel, because he would take steel, he would make something out of the steel, and then he would sell the finished product. He would make staircases. He was constantly looking at the price of steel because that's what he used, and aluminum. It's interesting because he gave me some numbers and he said, Steve, you know, I did very well because prices were coming down. It was a falling environment of prices, so it did well. He goes, but I'm against, you know, this. I'm for what Trump is doing. He said, you know, our country has just been battered from a standpoint of losing out to China particularly, and gave me some numbers, and it's crazy just how far it has gone, the balance between steel and aluminum and what we're producing here in metric tons versus what is coming out of China. And the numbers are just staggering. For example, 803 metric tons through China versus 78 metric tons here in the U.S. I mean, that's not even close. So it's gotten out of control. Why are so many saying, hey, free trade is important? You have people leaving the White House now. You have people on Wall Street screaming. You even have Kudlow, who I've interviewed on the show, as well as Steve Laffer, who I've interviewed, all saying it would be a disaster to start a trade war. So do you see this to be a disaster for the markets? Because it looks like he's going to do it. And or do you think this will be very positive in the long run for us?
Yeah, he hasn't done it yet. And that's the first thing, right? And so to our earlier comment about taking a position and then using it as a negotiating chip, China falls on our on that list of importers of steel as number 10, actually. And so, you know, when you have, and of course, the Republican base has typically been for free trade. And if you have these sorts of tariffs, and again, depending on who is being, who these tariffs are being targeted towards, you know, these countries, of course, can impact other sectors, right? So agriculture tends to be a big, we tend to be a net exporter of agricultural goods. For steel tariffs where, and aluminum, where industries here in the U.S. are impacted, you think of oil and energy and automakers and those sorts of things. So there's certainly winners and losers to that scenario. But of course, at this stage, to your point, nothing's been set in stone. And so if we do get an environment, and we've seen this before, Steve, so if you recall Carrier air conditioners, right? So when the Trump administration first hopped on board, they were going to ship jobs to Mexico, and they were able to save a handful of jobs and keep them here in the U.S. You saw the same thing with solar panels in China and washing machines from Korea. So you're seeing some of those elements here. What that means for investors, again, assuming some sort of tariff gets placed, is simply inflation here in the U.S. and keeping some of those economies or some of the production protected here in the U.S. And that could spike inflation, that could spike up prices. But I think that's the end game for the Trump administration, is to say, hey, can we hold off, or can we at least allow companies to hedge some of their bets on whether to create industries abroad or keep them here in the U.S., given the potential protectionist rhetoric or strategies that could be coming out of this type of council or even this type of administration.
So let's look at this, right? So let's talk about what it means to us, right? What it means to a baby boomer who might be approaching retirement. What's it mean to someone in retirement? Let's create the scenario, and let's say Trump comes in and says, you know what, steel and aluminum, we're going to change that ratio. Okay, that's yep. We're going to tariff that, meaning it's not a trade war now. We're not putting tariffs on everything, yep. Right? We're being very targeted. That's what the media is not saying here. He's targeting this. So let's target steel. Let's target aluminum. That'll increase our coal industry and all that kind of stuff as well. So there'll be a trickle-down effect. What does the? Let's assume he comes out and he says 25% tariff. Let's paint the picture. What's it mean to someone nearing retirement, someone in retirement?
For someone in or nearing retirement, with that sort of a move, from an economic standpoint, or really from a portfolio construction standpoint, you could see inflation, right? So if raw material prices go up for certain industries, they then in turn pass that on to end consumers, which then props up inflation. So typically with a protectionist approach, you tend to see inflation.
Right, and there's no doubt in my mind, right? So I made that clear, and I was communicating with Chris DeGaulle, who does a morning show here in Philadelphia, and he was talking about tariffs, and him and I had some banter back and forth, and debating whether or not Trump is being a populist on this, mm-hmm. right? Or if, and that's coming from the globalists, so there's this infight. So look, at the end of it, I said, look, bottom line is, this equals inflation, just like you're saying. And inflation not just helps Trump, but inflation helps anybody who's working, correct? Because inflation has some positives, I believe. Or do we all view it as being negative because we still think back to the Jimmy Carter era?
Yeah, and from an inflation standpoint, then you have income rises, you have... And again, going back to one of the administration's goals is the pro-growth agenda, right? So
right.
If you have industries protected here and folks' salaries are going up and you sort of create this pent-up demand and supply here in the U.S., which then could potentially translate to higher GDP here in the U.S. So
Book.
Rather than having, the export-import, rather than sending money elsewhere in the economy, you're simply... helping improve the situation here in the U.S.
Right. Now, look, I'm a free market guy, so I'm on board with that. I'm saying, hey, I'd like free trade. But guess what? I like what's being done right now. I like this noise. And the reason why I like it is this. Because sometimes you have to do certain things based on the timing, right? And if you look, China's done extremely well. They've kicked our butts in this space. No doubt about it. To come in and say, okay, we're going to now change the game for a little while. I don't know how long it lasts. The uncomfortable part of that is you get all these industries in the U.S. starting to ramp up for this, and then there's political change, and then, somebody else takes it back, like a radical Republican or a Democrat who wants to go back to some other reasoning to lose a trade war again. Here's where I'm going with this. There's so much debt. And the argument you're going to have is that you got this guy in the White House who it's all he knows is debt, and he's just given this big tax break, and it's going to create more debt. The way out of debt is inflation, is to inflate out of it. And what that means, people that are listening, is that those of you who have debt, you owe a mortgage payment, you owe some type of fixed payment to a bank or a lender, you get to pay them back later on with lesser dollars. So by inflation moving up, that payment you're making on your mortgage, you're going to get raises at work because they're hinged on the inflation rate. So it makes it easier to pay down that debt. Am I on board here with this? Is that making sense?
Yeah, and that's certainly one of what we would call one of the outcomes with a rising inflation environment. And it's not even, the other good point, the other comment I'd make is it's not just individuals, it's also business owners that are having to make decisions. So a great example of, one of the outcomes of this, and again, part of this waiting game, and we don't know how long this will last, but, if you're a business, as for example, if you had Chrysler, they were looking to move some of their production to Mexico for for their heavy duty pickup trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And as a function of this uncertainty, You know, they decided to de-risk and simply, rather than having a 25% import on the costs of production in Mexico, just have them built here. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing these sorts of things on the business side as well, where industries are saying, look, we can either pick up production elsewhere, but given this environment, and again, with the tax benefits that have happened here in the U.S., it seems a heck of a lot easier just to ramp up production here and de-risk and take that sort of scenario out of the equation. So not only on the individual side you're seeing the prospects of inflation, but certainly on the business end as well.
And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a moment to talk more about how tariffs and trade can affect your money and your wallet with my guest, Altim Woolagey. Back in a moment.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt here. Do you know that more than half of Americans would rather discuss politics, religion, or even death instead of their personal finances? Is that you? Does your financial advisor talk at you or with you? When was the last open and honest conversation you had with your advisor? My good friend Steve Cordasco and his team of advisors at Cordasco Financial Network go to the next level to communicate the complicated world of money with you. Not only will Cordasco Financial Network help with your wealth, but CFN also educates and provides clarity for you to live your life. Call Cordasco Financial Network right now at 215-558-3500. Again, that's 215-558-3500. Planning for your financial future takes a team, so call Cordasco now at 215-558-3500. With Cordasco Financial Network, you are in good hands. This is Hugh Hewitt, and I recommend you give Cordasco Financial Network a call at 215-558-3500 or visit them online at cfnplan.com.
Welcome back, and now more with my conversation about tariffs and global trade. We're talking with Altim Woolagey, talking about the economy and what it means to you and your money. There's going to be a lot of focus, and there's a lot of noise saying this tax break, this tax cut, is going to increase our deficit even more. But yet, if Trump has his way, look, to point the finger at China and make them a scapegoat, no doubt that's going on. How do you get inflation into the system? Right? How do you bring inflation back in? Because we've been in almost this deflationary thing. The Fed has been trying to do it by throwing money at things. And maybe Trump is now here saying, forget the Fed. They fail. They don't know how to do it. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it by making the price of goods more expensive. That brings some inflation into it. Because guess who else benefits from inflation, ladies and gentlemen? Governments. So think about it. If we're buying something cheaper here because cheaper steel is being used. Now, all of a sudden, it's more expensive to produce something, and that expense is being passed on to the consumer, and the consumer is buying it. There's a tax tied to it, right? So if it's more expensive, that means the government is getting more in tax revenue, correct?
That's correct. And you know, the other signs of a healthy economy, you're seeing unemployment at 30-year lows. You've seen GDP increases here in the U.S., so there's signs of the economy starting to move directionally. You know, to your point, with that, there is a backbone, or at least fundamentals appear to be, the environment seems to be welcoming to inflation, and, you know, with, again, unemployment and labor at a very tight labor market, you could see some real wage growth, and that upward pressure could also impact inflation.
All right, so let's talk about what it means to people, right? So it means if somebody's working, they have a good job, they're going to see probably more wage increases coming. So if there is inflation, right? So we're looking at it and saying tariffs equal inflation. Companies not moving overseas to produce something at a cheaper cost, they're going to do it here. More people getting hired, labor costs going up, inflation. So those of us that are working, they're going to get raises. Those that have debt in their households, they have mortgages, maybe they have investment real estate, they get a benefit here as well, right? Because they're going to be raising their rents on the real estate they own, or if they're at work, they're getting increases, and hence they're now being able to pay back a bank with fewer dollars. That works for them. Who gets hurt here, I think, would be the retiree or somebody close to it, because now they're living on a fixed income. they tend to get more defensive. They're in bonds. And, you know, when you buy a bond, you might say, well, that means this interest rates go up, so they'll be getting paid more. But not necessarily, doesn't work that way, right? You need the bonds you have now if you're retired. So those bonds tend to be worth less on paper. As they come due, you might be able to buy a bond that's got a higher interest rate. So granted, it's tough on fixed income people, correct?
That's correct. And certainly one of the, you know, one of the themes that we monitor and actively mitigate in terms of a risk standpoint within portfolios that we construct. And to your point, as a retiree, you know, and if you're mostly in bonds, it's one of those considerations to say, hey, if your bond is paying 2% and inflation is creeping up, your fixed coupon payment or income payment is worth less than it was the day before. So something that we're very mindful of on the construction side in portfolios.
So many baby boomers, many of them voted for Trump. Now, it's going to inflict some pain on them.
Yeah, there's certainly the case to be made that there is some concern there on the bond side. And of course, you know, of course, winners and losers when it comes to inflation. But yes, in portfolios, and as you've noted with voters, inflation is one outcome of a pro-growth agenda. But then a growing economy, rising wages, more jobs, you know, these sorts of things are hopefully mitigate some of those things from an economic standpoint.
What would work well in a portfolio in inflationary times? I always think of gold, but gold doesn't do much. You know, people don't see it as a way to help them get by. So what would a portfolio look like that would be a portfolio getting prepared for inflation?
Yeah, and to your point, most retirees and investors, their portfolios are primarily a combination of, you know, core bonds or treasury bonds or corporate bonds, municipal bonds. And we think there are some merits to having a core of that type of fixed income instrument. But there are bonds out there that are inflation protected and can hedge against rises in inflation. So you think of the first, of course, is Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. So the U.S. government actually provides Treasury bonds that move up or can tick up as you see spikes in inflation. So we think TIPS is the acronym for it. Make a ton of sense in a rising rate environment. So their income will increase as inflation peaks up.
Sure.
As well.
And we've been using them. So, so how have they been doing since the noise of tariffs?
When you have an environment where inflation starts to move, you'll see the yields on those treasury, those TIPS increase as well. So that likely is the trend that we'll see if we see continued policies that look to increase inflation here in the U.S.
Okay, so bonds, if there's not an inflation kicker to it, like a TIP, get hurt. People who have bought annuities, right, that are fixed, right, they tend to hurt, right, because you get paid with lesser dollars. So if you're getting money out of an annuity or an annuity spitting money out to you and it doesn't have any cost of living adjustment, that hurts. If you have a pension that you have no cost of living to it, that hurts. Social Security, you'll get raises on Social Security. Now, let's talk about banks. Some think that banks would get hurt because if banks have lent money and they're getting paid back with lesser dollars, that hurts, but it actually helps banks because of the spreads they earn. Banks tend, and I had somebody argue this with me the other day, and people have emailed me at asksteve@cfnplan.com, and some of the arguments coming in are like, hey, why are you saying it's bad for retirees inflation? That means interest rates are going to go up and we're going to get better CD rates. Well, I've never known a bank to be in front of things with rates, right? Rates tend to go up trailing what's happening, correct? And therefore, if your price of goods and services are going up and your money is technically eroding as that's happening, banks tend to lag in increasing rates. Is that correct?
To your point, they're not the first to raise their hand to give out more money.
Right. And so everybody thinks, oh, my CD rates are going to go back to 4 and 5%. Well, they might, but guess what? That 4 or 5% you're earning is going to be buying even less than it would be maybe today. But banks on their end seem to do well, right? Because they have these spreads. But let's talk about stocks in general. Inflation's been the biggest driver of the S&P 500 over the last 30 years. Is that safe to say?
Yes, and we've certainly been the backbone of economic growth, over the last 30 years. So, dividends, interest, of course, you've seen capital appreciation, but inflation in pastime has been a driver within returns.
We can go back and listen to programs that I've done last year where there's been a lot of experts coming out and saying, listen, U.S. equities and equities for the most part over the next decade or so, you'll be lucky to get 4 or 5%. And Jack Bogle's on board of saying this. And you can agree with them if you use today's numbers, which means we have very little inflation in the system. I would bet that those numbers change to get back to maybe more traditional type of return. I don't know if you get back to that 10% number, but you might be able to flirt with that if inflation comes back into the system a little bit.
Yeah, if you do see inflation come back, you could see higher expectations. That being said, that's certainly one of the dynamics that we're at least mentioning to clients out there to say, look, we just came off of a very strong 2017. We're in a 9-year bull market here in the U.S. We've seen a bit of a market correction to start the year. How do we view the prospects of that, and how do we hedge or harness that sort of the outcome within portfolios to make sure that they're taking advantage of that, but also has some downside protection if the 10% doesn't come?
So we have to kind of deal with that and position for that. Alton Woolagy is my guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's part of helping us at Cardesco Financial Network with the investment side of what we do, the investment solutions for people like you. And what we're doing is we're discussing the fallout of President Trump and imposing tariffs on steel and aluminum and what it means to you and what it means to your money and what it means to your lifestyle. So we've enjoyed, for many of us, a good quality of life as we've had a low inflation environment. Actually, it's almost been getting to the point of deflationary. That's what has caused the Fed to have to throw so much money into the system. And it's got many worried about what the system looks like now with the Fed doing all of this. And it looks like Trump's going to take the bull by the horns and say, look, I'll get some inflation into the system. I'm going to use it as a tool to say we're bringing jobs back, because the way I'm going to go about bringing some inflation back into the system is going to create jobs. And he's looking at this as, you know what? It's a weapon that I have, and I'm going to use it. And guess what? It's all we have to do. China's like 46 or 45% of the production. What's the big picture take on the markets, the stock market, and how the stock market's going to react to what looks like is going to happen, and that is tariffs on steel and aluminum, just to start?
The markets recognize that, look, any sort of retaliation to these tariffs would be bad for the global market, right, or global economy. But that being said, again, when you look at the fundamentals, right, GDP growth, corporate earnings, labor market, across the board, there are just signs of a very strong economy. You pair that with tax reform here in the U.S. You pair it with even abroad. You look at the EU, and they're having the strongest run in over a decade. A raw material spike or levy on raw materials here in the U.S. could translate to higher costs, but admittedly, there's a lot of pent-up potential within this type of stock market. Mm-hmm. Of course, we temper that and say, look, here in the short term, you could see some volatility. But we think the end game, of course, is if we see this being used as a way to gain favorable advantage within NAFTA negotiations, I think that'll be the what markets will react to versus this initial tranche.
Larry Kudlow is a friend of the show. I've done some one-on-one speaking events with him. Just he was here not long ago where he and I both together hosted an event for TD Ameritrade. And, we have a direct line to him. And just last week, he's very open to interviewing. I've interviewed him many a times, but couldn't do the interview last week. And he says, my regards, a little under the weather. And I said to my producer, Ed, I said, Ed, I said, something's up. I said, that's unusual. And, you know, literally, maybe 5 days later, we hear noise of Cohen wanting to step down. And now we're hearing possibly Larry Kudlow will be next to the president as a top advisor to him when it comes to this, going to the White House. Yeah. Is that good for the markets? Bad? What's the opinion on Kudlow? Has he got the juice?
Yeah, obviously, you know, when you look at his reputation and background, could be a steady hand within the administration. So, you know, nothing but good things to say for Kudlow and, of course, the guest of the show here. I think when you look at when we look at the administration and turnover, having some sort of stability or at least a voice in there that can guide or help be helpful in crafting policy or counsel is certainly a good thing there.
Alton Woolagey, thank you so much, and I appreciate you helping us in what we do and helping our clients with finding the right investments to match them up correctly. And you're a good partner with us here at Cardasco Financial Network. And our investment team, which includes your team, is phenomenal. So thanks so much for what you do, and thanks for being part of today's program.
Hey, Rich Dilley here. My friend Steve Cardasco, financial advisor and founder of Cardasco Financial Network, is back with a new retirement guide called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. This guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, how to successfully generate cash flow in retirement, and how to utilize great tax saving strategies. This guide also uncovers the best practices to reduce stock market stress, how to find investment solutions that match your risk tolerance, and how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement. Whether you are taking the first steps to retirement planning and don't know where to start, are in pre-retirement and looking to accumulate wealth, or already retired and looking to preserve your wealth, you should get a copy of Steve Cardasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement, and it's totally free. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go right now to cfnplan.com.
I'm Steve Cardasco. Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth show. So as you know, Larry Kudlow's name is being tossed around as, some would say, front runner to be now President Trump's right-hand man, his top economic advisor. And bottom line is Larry Kudlow going to be going to Washington to work with Trump? And here's what Larry Kudlow had to say.
I helped Donald with his very good tax cut plan. Really excellent supply side. Lower marginal rates for individuals and especially for businesses, which I think is the number one obstacle to economic growth. We're losing our businesses because of our crazy tax system and our overregulation. Steve Moore, my colleague and friend and brother, Steve and I worked on that with others, and it's a very good product. Your point, however, is well taken. I don't think Donald has sold it near enough. He's got a lot of other agenda items. It's the number one issue. The economy is the number one issue. Economy, jobs, growth. And it's right there for the taking. And he gets it out there, no question, but he doesn't hammer it. He doesn't lead with it. He doesn't repeat it. He doesn't say, I'm cutting taxes. That's prosperity.
As you can see, for Larry Kudlow now, where we had this conversation a while back, he's now potentially going to be in a situation where he's going to be asked to come to the White House to work with Trump and as Trump's right-hand finance guy, his top advisor to the economy. We'll see if that pans out. But I thought it was very interesting with what Larry had to say with regards to Trump and the way he's approaching the economy. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to Larry Kudlow also about the dollar. And President Trump has been vocal about the dollar. It's conflicting because when I did speak to Larry Kudlow, when him and I were together, as well as when I did an interview with him, I asked him that question. And it's interesting because you'll hear him say, and I want you to listen closely, about what's needed. And Larry Kudlow talks about Ronald Reagan and Ronald Reagan needing a solution for inflation. Think about this. Ronald Reagan did need a solution for inflation. He needed a solution to bring inflation down because we were having a problem, a major problem in our country. Reagan, technically, you could argue, won because of inflation. Trump is also, in my opinion, looking for a solution to inflation. Got to think, Reagan's group did such a good job of beating up inflation that all of a sudden we get to the point where we are today. There is no inflation. There's been disinflation the whole way, which is inflation moving down year over year over year to the point where when you go negative, that's deflation. Deflation will give us the worst depression we've ever seen in this country. And that's because people's wages can't go up. They are having trouble getting buy, and you might say, well, everything becomes cheaper. What's so wrong with that? Yeah, but you're earning less. It's a problem, trust me, before we get into the gory details. Which tells me now, Trump is looking at this pretty much as Reagan's looked at his dilemma and saying, I got to build some inflation in here because we don't have any wage pressure going. You know, there's no increase in wages. Trump's not looking for hyperinflation. He's looking for healthy inflation, just like the Fed looks for, and the Fed has not been able to get. So it's interesting because here's now what Larry Kudlow has to say about that. I find it fascinating.
Reagan and Jack Kemp, you know, they were looking for a solution to high inflation and high unemployment. And the solution they chose was JFK's. A, lower tax rates, and B, and this is very important, keep the dollar steady and sound. I call it tax cuts and king dollar. It worked in the 60s, it worked in the 80s and 90s, and it will work again if they would try it. And Mr. Trump is very much a part of that tradition, although there are some issues about the dollar and so forth, but nonetheless, on tax reform, I think he's solid.
And there you go, Larry Kudlow talking about Trump, and he even said, look, Trump is, you know, Reagan wanted a strong dollar, right? He wanted to beat inflation, wanted a strong dollar. Dollar's king. Trump is looking at this and saying, wait, a weaker dollar means that we become more competitive with the rest of the world. So therefore, what's the point of dollar king? Let's weaken the dollar up because it's going to create jobs. If it creates jobs and then we get wage increases, that's all good. And it fits Trump's agenda. The question we have now is Larry Kudlow, who I was just talking to, will he be Trump's pick to be the top economic advisor in Washington? Because we now have a void there. Kudlow worked on this with Reagan, but it was the complete opposite of what Trump is dealing with. Will Kudlow be able to adjust his mindset that maybe a weaker dollar, maybe tariffs, maybe a little bit of targeted isolationism is what we need at the moment now, just like Reagan put in place what was needed at the moment then, just as JFK put in place what was needed at that moment. He used whatever he needed to do to get that economy going. That's where we are here. I'm passionate about it. I think we're in interesting times. And I am setting up a picture for you to kind of look at because the media is not doing this. Is Trump really, his underlying here is, yeah, you know, they want to, he's going to use China as the scapegoat. He's going to bark and saber rattle, like I said, and get us lathered up that it's the Chinese, you know, and nobody, look, the liberals don't like it because, you know, you're saying it's the Chinese now. You're saying it's them and it just doesn't seem right. It's not politically correct. And at the end of the day, what's he going to do? Come in and say, I want to generate some inflation because inflation is going to help people make more money. People aren't going to get it. Let's go back to the Bueller cut. Listen to them try to explain it.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
He's sick.
Bueller wasn't even going in to hear the nonsense. I know history shows us that scapegoating to get what you want can be bad. That's not what this is. This is saying, hey, I want to target an industry because that industry is going to help create jobs here. That industry is going to help create some, I believe this, that this is what Trump wants, inflation, because inflation is what is going to cause standard of livings to go up, people to earn more money, and people to have an opportunity for what's called good jobs, where they're at least making some money. It just so happens when you pick your head up and look and say, well, who's been the biggest violator that has helped get us into this situation? Not that they were doing anything wrong. The political system was set up and our past politicians allowed this to happen. But now Trump's there saying, let's look right at you. And I know you're not liking the fact that we're using the word China, but or the Chinese. But at the end of the day, that's the group statistically, that country that has profited handsomely off of this. I'm not so sure Trump's going to go with Kudlow unless Kudlow's willing to say, I can frame your arguments, Mr. President, in a way that, just like we did with Reagan, will get the job done. This will be a key piece, not a trade war, but putting some inflation back into the system. They're going to try to make it least painful by making it acceptable inflation. If it gets to be runaway or hyperinflation or one of those other things that plagued Carter, of course, that's a catastrophe. But they're going to try to put enough in there that they can pay down the deficit a little bit better, help our debt situation a little bit better, bring in things that they can do so they're not as far as in a deficit. And if they can do it while people's wages are going up and feeling like they're doing better, then that's a win-win. You got to remember, those of you that are going to be retired or retired soon, if this is the new cycle we're going into, you better know how to deal with it. Tell me what you think. Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. Love to hear from you. Ask Steve at CFNplan.com.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt here. Do you have a sound retirement strategy? Have you taken the time to sit down and write a plan for achieving your retirement dreams? Sadly, most of us spend more time planning our vacations than our own financial future. I'm here to tell the Delaware Valley a name that most people probably already know. Steve Cordasco. You've been listening to Steve for the last 25 years. You've been reading his articles in the Philadelphia Business Journal, Forbes, TheStreet.com. Steve Cordasco and his team have just come out with a new guide for retirement planning called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's cfnplan.com. The guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, generating cash flow in retirement, tax saving strategies, ways to reduce stock market stress, investment solutions that match your risk, how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement, much, much more. And now for my Hugh Hewitt listeners, I strongly recommend you get a copy of Steve Cordasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth Show. I'm Steve Cordasco. So happy that you were part of today's program. And boy, we covered a lot of turf getting into... If the president is successful and is able to target tariffs in a way that can be a win-win, he gets what he wants, which I ultimately believe is inflation and jobs. You get the rest of the world, it's going to take a hit because of the tariffs, accepting it, because if you got China right now at 46% of the market share and they go to 40, are they still fat and happy? Maybe. So let's see if that happens, and if he's good and says, okay, we're going to do it on steel and aluminum, but we're going to give you an added benefit on something else, the United States wants status quo. That's the big argument here. Remember I told you that I had the opportunity to speak to Dempsey, the former Joint Chief of Staff head, and I asked him the question, the United States just wants status quo, China wants to be able to feed its people, Russia wants to be able to get its economy going because it's got 11 time zones, and it's tough to get things through that country. Well, what does this do to the status quo of the United States when China says this is going to hurt this 1.5 billion people we have in our country, which we don't want that, right? What we want in China is to feed these people and to keep these people's standard of living going up. If we do something drastic enough that hurts that, then China then doesn't need us as much. Those of you who are in your 20s, 30s, 40s, good, healthy inflation is going to be fine for you. It's going to be good for you. That's why the Fed has a mandate of having some inflation. You know, they want about 2.5%. Those of you that are mid to latter 50s into your 60s and 70s, this could be brutal. The benefit you're going to get here is Social Security raises are going to be more. But if you're on fixed income, you got annuities, you have pension that doesn't have an adjustment to it, you're sitting on all bonds that are not adjustable, that stuff's going to get hit. You're the one who's going to be in a tougher situation. Where do you go with all this? What do you do? One thing that's important to do, and we do it all the time, is to look at what these unknowns, these things you can't control, like inflation right now, president's controlling it. The Fed is the one who's supposed to try to control it, but they haven't got the job done. The president hasn't used the Fed as the scapegoat. That's what's interesting here. He's using China because He's talking more about creating jobs and the job issue in this country, but the job issue extends to even people with jobs saying, I don't have a good job because I'm not making any more money than I was 5 years ago, so I don't feel like I'm going anywhere. If the president can solve these things, you're going to have a two-term president. And this is very important. And guess what? The people around him are dropping like flies. Doesn't surprise me. Cohen's part of the system. He knows what's going on right now. There's a thumbing of his nose at the Fed. He's saying, stick it up your you know what I'm talking about. And you got this Wall Streeter saying, oh, gee, I don't know. He's part of the Goldman Sachs effort. Now, listen, I know if you look into the history of Cohen, he's this guy from Ohio. He's not that, you know, he's forced into the Wall Street crowd. But when you're there and you drink the Kool-Aid, you're part of it. And Donald is saying, nope, I'm doing this my way. That's Steve Cardasco's opinion of what's going on right now in the deeper rooted side of this thing. But Trump's smart. He knows that's not going to resonate with, you know, the middle of Pennsylvania. He knows it's not going to resonate in the Rust Belt. They want it plain and simple language. Just like he tweets out basic nothing. It's like he's talking to the third. It's a Daily News, right? When I talked to Stu Bykoski and wrote for the Daily News, right, as if you're talking to third and fifth graders. Because that's what people want to hear. They want to understand it. Trump has packaged this thing very understandable. I'm going to create jobs. They've been taking everything from us. Boom. The president's doing the best he can to control it, to put it in place. So what you do, we use tools here so that we can stress test where you are, where you're positioned in life. So in your younger years, we can show you what inflation might look like for you and how your financial plan, your savings works over time. What is 3%, 4%, 5%? What does 6% look like? How does that affect your total security in retirement? Will you be able to afford retirement? So get that done. Stress test your investments and your plan. So if we're in a cycle now where the president's going to do what the Fed's not able to do and get the right amount of inflation, the healthy amount of inflation into the system, he's going to do it himself. And if you think he can do it, then you better stress test your investments against inflation as well as your overall financial plan. Ask Steve at cfnplan.com. That's ask Steve at CFN, as in Cardasco Financial Network, plan.com. We'll see if Larry Kudlow gets the nod to be President Trump's top economic advisor and see if he ends up in the White House, which he told me personally, if he got the nod, he probably wouldn't do it. We'll see what happens. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for joining us on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. All of our shows are reproduced as podcasts and can be listened to on demand at your convenience. If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cardasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.